It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you're here. And today, our guest is the founder of ViewRight Advisors, and he's creator of the Defender Program, which I'm sure we're going to hear quite a bit about. It's a systematic risk-managed portfolio overlay built to help wealth managers dynamically adjust equity exposure through market cycles. And boy, are we going through one right now, right? A chartered market technician since 2008, our guest brings over two decades of technical and macro research experience to his work. Guiding professionals through volatile markets with discipline, with clarity, he's here to explain it all to you. Let's welcome Vincent Randazzo. Vincent, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, sir, and thank you for the introduction. I'm great.
Good. Glad to have you here. So tell us a bit about what you do and what got you into where you are today.
Sure. Yeah. So what I've done is I've created a research service that gives clear rules-based signals on when to dial equity exposure up or down and by how much from a long-term perspective. So, you know, we're not talking about like trading, right? And really we're trying to help protect clients from big losses and emotional decisions without overtrading, right? And without missing out on the gains, you know, importantly enough, you know, that's why we talk about being dynamic and adaptive, right? But what got me there, basically, listen, I've been doing this for 22 and a half years at this point, 23 years. I came in the business in 2002, lucky enough to have graduated in that year with an economics degree and very excited to try to use it. I started at Morgan Stanley, where I quickly found myself on a desk that was watching CNBC every day because it was, you know, flashing red because we were kind of crashing from the dot-com bust, right? And of course, for the next, let's say, 10 or so years, the market really just went sideways, point to point from the year 2000 to 2013. We went sideways. Of course, we had big bull and bear markets in between there, but that's what the end result was. It was a lost decade. So that's how I started my career. You know, I was basically trying to figure out on my own how to manage an environment like that. And of course, I studied history and I found out, this has happened before. You know, and it's had different names. Like in the 60s, it was the Nifty 50, and that led to a 16-year lost decade plus, right? And then of course, it happened in 1929 when you had the stock market crash, when you had 25 years until you got back to that high in 1929. So this happens, you know, repeatedly over time. And then the question in my mind was, okay, well, how do I navigate that kind of environment? I had to figure it out really quick because I'm trying to make a name for myself in the industry. You know, at that point in my career, how do I set myself apart? And I quickly found that technical analysis was a way for me to do that. And I found beyond that, that breadth analysis was the way forward for me. So I basically found that market breadth, and in other words, how many stocks are actually participating in advance on a numerical basis, that actually leads, and then the price technicals confirm, and the fundamentals sort of explain it after the fact, right? And you know, in school, we were always sort of taught that fundamentals are the only thing that mattered, and that's what you need to do. And in practice, and what I had learned in my career, and what set me apart and got me on this path is that, no, actually, technicals is sort of what works best for me and would help me differentiate myself and help my clients the most.
What do you think is so enticing for you about technicals?
So
and maybe
to
explain
me,
what technicals are for the people that don't know what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah. So technical analysis is effectively measuring usually price and momentum indicators instead of fundamental metrics like price to earnings ratios, price to cash flow, things like that. And the idea is that, you know, if you believe that the market is at least somewhat efficient, then you sort of have to understand that all of the collective brain power in the entire world, right, in fact, is looking at this group of stocks. And the way that they're putting liquidity into that group of stocks is reflective of how they feel and what the information that they have is. Information that we as individuals may not have, but certainly the collective does have it. And an example of that is at the end of bull markets, what you typically will see is what we call divergences between breadth and price. The price of the index, because it's market cap weighted, can be really deceptive at times because you have the biggest, strongest companies driving that index to the very last moment of a bull market. Meanwhile, and that's just because people are humans and they want to squeeze every little last bit of juice out of the bull market. In acknowledgement of the fact that things are getting tougher, it's harder and harder to find stocks that they want to buy. So they just sort of migrate to what they know and what they feel safe with. And in doing so, that liquidity is like a sucking sound out of the rest of the market, and it goes into those names to the rest of the market's detriment. And then it sort of just becomes a game of, I would say, like musical chairs, right? Where you're just sort of running to the next, to the next, to the next, until there's really no place to go except cash, unless you want to just stand there and let the train run you over, which I think is, the buy and hold mantra, unfortunately, but it doesn't work in, these long decades where you have, rocky sideways markets.
So a lot of people look at technical analysis. I'm just going to play devil's advocate because I'm a big believer in technical analysis and fundamental analysis together. But they look at
Sure.
it like, like astrology for adults. And, you can always kind of squeeze in a moving average or a, technical indicator based on what you're looking for in the chart rather than the other way around. What do you say to those people?
Well, I see you need a system, and one of the things that I dislike about many forms of technical analysis that is that it can be very subjective. So that's why I strictly go right to the breadth, which is sort of the core of the market. You can't draw lines around it. It's the numbers are the numbers. How many stocks are going up versus how many stocks are going down? That's a number. It's reported every single day. It tells you a lot about the health of the market. How many stocks are above their 200-day moving averages? How many stocks are above their 50-day moving averages? Right? These points, these data points, they're immutable. You can't change them. You can't look at them in a way that is subjective. They are as clear as you can make them. So, while I sort of take that with a grain of salt as far as that assessment of technical analysis, I think there is some truth to that when it comes to certain forms of technical analysis. And that's also why I became a chartered market technician, because I felt like there was a lot of, I won't say charlatans, I think that's probably not a good word for it, but people who think they know what technical analysis is and they're sort of masquerading around as technical analysts, when really what they might be doing is like you said, looking for things that they want to find and finding them in a chart. And then portraying that to other people as truth.
So I think I can pick up what you're putting down through the reading between the lines on where you think the market is today. I have a feeling. If you want to throw that out, you can. It might be totally stale by the time this comes out, which is, not more than a few days from now, or it might be completely accurate, but that's the nature of the stock market, right? Like we really don't know. All we try to do is stack probabilities in our favor, and that's probably what you do with technical analysis, right?
That's exactly what we do. We try to be on the right side of the equation when it comes to the probabilities. And I really love what you said about, on your website, like having a system, right? That to me is so important. That's why I think if you apply any framework systematically, and you're consistent about it and you're objective about it, you can A, remove the emotions, and I think you point to this too. But B, you can actually depend on something, and that builds confidence, right? Not overconfidence, but confidence in that you know what you're looking at, you know how to deal with situations, and you're not going to panic at the worst possible moment. But as far as, where are we right now? I think after 17 plus years in a secular bull market, we're getting closer to the end every single day, no matter what anybody says. And this is just history of 120 years of stock market history that I've studied very closely. The next thing that happens is a secular bear market, which is, those time periods, those lost decades that I described. Now, I don't know exactly when that's going to be. I just know that we're getting closer to that time because these secular bull markets, the positives, they don't last forever. They last about, 20 years. Now, granted, there's not a huge sample there because there's only been a few in that 120-year period, but they're not infinite. And that's just the way of nature, two steps forward, one step back. That's
Sure.
nature, right?
So Vincent, so I'm listening to you and you're making a lot of sense, but if I'm a drive-by listener or watcher of this program, I'm wondering what you do for me or how you make a living and how you serve the public, how you serve people. Tell us.
Yeah, so a couple of different ways. The first is, me having a research background and finding stock market research to be self-serving in a lot of ways. Just having been on that side of the equation, it just felt like, well, what we wanted to do is send a lot of stuff into your inbox because that means that we're valuable, right? That's not what it means to be valuable. What it means to be valuable is to actually create something that is quantifiable. And that gives you direction and it focuses on implementation, right? So what I'm doing is I'm providing in a research format signals of when to get out of the way, dial down risk. And what we do is we get out in thirds, one-third increments, and then we get back in all the way back in because there's usually an asymmetry near bottoms of between expected return and risk. So we push all the way back in toward bottoms. Just by way of example, our clients got alerts to get out by one third, so reduce their exposure by one third to the market on February 24th of this year. Another signal came to get out a third in the middle of March. So this is just an example in recent history of how this framework applies in a systematic way with you in mind, with people in mind. And actually, this was available right now. It's available only to financial advisors through my website. But I'm partnering with a family office, and we're bringing an exchange traded fund to market early next year. So this is going to be something that's going to be accessible to anybody now. So we're democratizing access to really what is an institutional type strategy where we're avoiding the bad bits of the market because we know 75% of the time the market goes up. Well, what happens to 25% of the time? The market goes down. Well, what if we could just have a smart buy and hold instrument where you're making the most out of that bullish time frame, but you're simply avoiding or minimizing the losses associated with the negative part of that cycle?
Yeah, those negative parts can be pretty big too, right?
Pretty
We've all heard,
big and big holes to dig out of mathematically. I mean, you're a compounding focused person, so you understand this is that when you take these drawdowns, it's a 30 or 40 or 50% drawdown, those are huge holes to dig out of. And it might take you many years to get back to where you were if you're just simply sitting there and waiting for something to come back. That's so frustrating. So, if I could see that train coming down the track and I know it's dangerous and I know it's going to do harm to me, then if we can do it in a systematic way, why don't we just step to the side, get off the rails for a while, and then we can hop back on when it's safe?
Yeah, nice. Nice. Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our cash flow machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. So cash is king sometimes when the markets are correcting, and keeping that powder dry to be able to buy things when things are starting to cup at the bottom is what you kind of, in a nutshell, do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure there's more to it, but obviously that's a simple thing that has a definite result. So how do you do it? You sit around, read charts all day. You have certain indicators. You created your own market indicator. What kind of things do you do?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So what I'm looking at are indicators that have been around for dozens of years, if not longer. So I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. What I'm doing is I'm saying, imagine that you're a doctor and you have a patient that comes in. You don't just look at them on the outside and are like, yeah, you look fine. No, you run tests. You have to understand what's going on inside. So that's what the tools that I watch, that's what they do for the stock market. They measure what is the health of market inside that I can't see by looking at the price or the price indexes. So I'm looking at the advanced decline line, for example, which is again just sort of a running tally of those up stocks versus down stocks, and just adding that equation, adding that in every single day. The idea being that, the more stocks that are going up every single day, the healthier the condition, the easier it is for me to participate and find stocks that are going up, and the easier it is for me to find stocks that are actually outperforming that trend. I also look at indicators like I mentioned earlier, the percentage of stocks above their 200-day moving average. The 200-day moving average is simply a really good kind of rough estimate for an uptrend, right? 200 days, it's almost a year in terms of market days. How does that look like? And how many stocks are actually participating on the upside? A lot of times you'll see major market tops, and it's really contrary to the way people think about tops. People think about tops as sort of manias that end in, really spectacular fashion. And almost always it's the opposite. You look at those numbers, for example, the percentage of stocks above their 200-day moving average at all-time highs, that number could be, 50% a lot of times. And think about what that means. That means half of the market, half of the stocks in the market is in a downtrend when you have that last high. So these are some of the indicators I look at. I also look at new highs versus new lows. I'm talking about 52-week highs. And again, for the same effect, except I want to understand, the intensity where breadth just tells me directionally, where I need to be. And the new highs data that tells me the intensity behind the move, the percentage of stocks, but their long and medium term moving average that tell me sort of the amount of upside participation or uptrend participation there is. So again, it's just looking at the facts. Tell me what are the facts, and then I just put a systematic framework around how to look at those numbers. And just by virtue of learning in the last, 100 years, what do these numbers look like around major market tops, and then how do I sort of create a system to adapt over time in a cycle that is not going to get me overtrading, that is also not going to get me overreacting at any given time. So that's sort of how I do it. And I think, if you look at, I back tested this to 1988, and just, if you're just looking at the S&P, it adds about 600 basis points of outperformance per year on average. And again, that's mostly just by avoiding or minimizing those big drawdowns. That's all. And the math equation totally changes. And for somebody who's nearing retirement, in retirement, and of course we're all getting older, but and this bull market's getting older too. So I think the more we move forward in time, the more important and valuable a strategy like this becomes.
I could make this really simple, but I want to kind of get into something a little bit more complex, and I'm hoping you're up for the challenge. And that is, and I'll just give you some background. I've got a market timing system that I created 15 years ago. It's right most of the time. Right now, it's giving us basically sideways head fakes. It goes from a yellow market to a red market to a green market to a, it doesn't really know what the heck is going on, at least for the last couple of months. And that's telling me that we're in what I call this little porpoising period where the porpoise is going up and down. But usually that leads to a big break one way or a big break the other way. And my feeling, and I try not to trade on feelings, but my feeling is that this market wants to sell off. On the other hand, what I've learned is that I shouldn't listen to my feelings, but I should listen to something called Don't Fight the Fed. And we know that the Fed is going to be printing more and more and more and more money because they have to print the money that they've created out of thin air to be able to pay the interest, and we're not spending any less, so that's going up. And so that's going to inflate asset prices. So I have these two conflicting things in my head, and I don't know which one to believe. So I'm not looking for an answer. I'm looking, how do we know which one to believe when we've got feelings, emotions, systems, indicators, all noise on CNBC, Kramer telling us one thing, which to me is probably the most, probably the best indicator. You just do the opposite. But what do we do? I know you're going to say look at breadth, but what else?
I'll say something different.
All right.
What I'll say is keep the emotions out of it. Keep the too much thinking. And I've learned this, and again, it's totally
Yeah.
counterintuitive. Too much thinking leads to usually too much activity, which means too many decisions. The more
That's
decisions you
right.
have to make, the more decisions you have to make, the more likely you are to be wrong on one of those decisions or more of those decisions. So just keep it very, very simple and don't overthink it. And this is something I learned, a long time ago, is that the market is way smarter than me. So if I just know how to listen to the market right, and the way I do it is just through breath. You might have different ways that you do it, right?
Yeah.
Use that those tools you have in an objective way to formulate a system that is going to help keep your brain and your emotions out of the equation as much as you
Yeah.
possibly can,
And
because
automate what you can
and
as well.
automate what you can, and for God's sakes, avoid political political predictions or biases, at least when it comes to investing. Those oftentimes the what you think is going to be a positive is a negative, and a negative might be a positive. I mean, you just don't know. And that goes
Right.
with macro too. You see a lot of really, really super, super smart, intelligent folks who run macro funds that are just almost always dead wrong, because they might be right in predicting whatever that move is, but for whatever reason, the reaction to that move is counter to what they thought it was going to be,
Yeah.
right? So they can get the actual activity right, but the effect on the market is different than what they expected. And the reason is that correlations are constantly changing. You're talking about multiple millions of inputs in this thing we call the stock market. So
Right.
those relationships are just always changing, always rotating, and you have to focus on what doesn't move so much, and figure out how to have a system around that. Again, that's why I focus on breadth, because you really can't fool it, and it takes into account a lot of this information.
Yeah. Well said. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I preach that same thing as the removing emotions. I like what you said about decisions. The more decisions you make, the more chances you have of screwing up. So
Right.
get your decisions down to the big ones, make sure they're right, automate them, get the emotions out of them, and execute without having any bias. So that's cool. I love it. I could sit here and talk to you about stuff for a long time. I don't know if that serves the greater good, but how can people find out more if they want to go deeper with you?
Sure. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, Vincent Randazzo CMT. I'm also on X at CMT Randazzo, and I'm glad, reach out directly to me. I'm always happy to have a conversation. And my website is viewright.ai.
Viewright.ai. Sounds great. I'll have it linked in the show notes. Any final things that that maybe I forgot to talk about because I get so excited about talking about breadth and the stuff that you do, systems.
No, I think we did pretty well here. I really enjoyed this. I think we think you and I think very similarly, and
Seems
I
like
think
it,
that
yeah.
always makes for a good conversation. But I'd agree with you. I would just say, the best way to build wealth is in keeping your capital intact through the down cycles. So really you can compound more intelligently. And I think, there are a ton of different ways to do it. It doesn't have to be my way or your way, but find that way it works, because you don't have to just sit there and let the train run you over. That's something you don't need
Yeah,
to do.
really good. I wanted you to have the last word, but I want to glom onto what you said, and that is, these markets are a little crazy, everybody, and I really think that you got to play defense first, and I think that's what guys like Vincent do, and you protect your capital, you get out when things are crappy, you get in when things are starting to be better, and of course, it's easier said than done. So having a system that takes the emotions out of it helps you play that defense first. You can always make money, but defense wins championships if you're going to use an analogy for football. So, Vincent, thank you so much for your time, your wisdom, your knowledge. Appreciate your being here.
Thank you, Mark. You too. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you
It's been a
having
lot
me.
of fun. And
Yeah.
everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. And I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Thanks for being here.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.